This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's Morning News with Ron Stutz begins now.
7:07, 51 degrees in Chapel Hill. It is really a little bit nippy out there today. We expect a lot of sunshine today, high today in the middle 70s, and tomorrow will be just a little bit warmer with a high in the upper 70s. Nice weather. The coordinator of Chapel Hill Carborough's Blue Ribbon Mentor Advocate Program and a strong proponent, supporter, and administrator of primary education wants to serve you in the North Carolina House of Representatives. He is Greg Meyer, Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools Director of Student Equity and Volunteer Services. And Greg announced on Tuesday evening that he will seek the appointment to District 50's House seat, a seat formerly held by Valerie Fouché, who was appointed to Senate District 23 seat, formerly held by Ellie Kinnaird. Greg is with us in our studio this morning at WCHL. And good morning, Greg.
Good morning, Ron. Thanks for having me.
What is your interest in this seat? What made you decide to do this?
Well, most importantly is that I love this community. My wife loves this community. We care very much about what happens in this community. I believe that our government is responsible for educating our children, caring for our elders, and creating a safe, healthy, and prosperous community for everyone. I believe the North Carolina government has not been leading us in that direction for the last few years, and it's going to take a multi-year push to get us back towards being the great state that we can be, and I believe that I can make the commitment to do that.
Tell us a little bit more about your background and what qualifies you to serve in this capacity.
Ron, I've been a public servant for my entire career. I mean, people in Chapel Hill probably know me from my work with the school district. I'm really trying to address the minority achievement gap and work on racial justice issues. In Orange County, I've been active with the Orange County schools as my daughter went through Orange County schools from grades 1 through 12. And I've also been active in the Democratic Party at the local level, state level, even the national level. And so I've got credentials being tied into all those places and ways of supporting Orange County. My wife is more active in Durham County. She's an educator there, and our children, two youngest children, go to school there. So we've got ties. We know the issues and, you know, care very much about making sure that the voices of people in Orange and Durham counties are represented in the General Assembly. And I think most of the people that I talk to around here feel like those voices haven't been represented very well the last couple of years, not by my predecessor, not by Valerie Fouché, of course, but by the General Assembly as a whole.
We're speaking with Greg Meyer on WCHL. And Greg, this may be a loaded question. Keep your answer as brief as you can. What do you want to see changed in the legislature?
To me, the most important issue is always going to be education, and that includes early childhood, K-12, and higher education. This state has always had its prosperity built on being a state with an amazing educational system and having an economy that's built off of a highly educated workforce, and so we have to make sure that continues.
Now, natural question here might be, do you want to just finish out the rest of Representative Fouché's term, or do you want to continue beyond that as well?
Well, my goal would be to help build a long-term movement of allies who think like me and are part of a movement for a more successful and sustainable state. And so if I'm appointed to the term right away, I would certainly run for election in the primary next spring.
Now, you are the newly created Director of Student Equity and Volunteer Services position last July, but you are best known for your work with the Blue Ribbon Mentor Advocate Program, and you've been in charge of that whole program for a long time. What about the future of the VRMA if you get the seat? You've been such a major part of what's happened there.
Well, I think that if I'm elected to the seat and really take this on, I'd need to dedicate a lot of my time to representing the people in the General Assembly. So I don't believe I'd be able to continue at the Blue Ribbon Program or full-time in the Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools, but we have a part-time citizen legislature, and I care passionately about young people in this community, and I'd love to find a way to continue to serve them part-time. So we'll see what comes about.
Greg, you touched on Durham just a moment ago. Durham is included, of course, in District 50. What would you say that you can provide for Durham residents as well as those of Orange County?
Well, I say, first of all, that I need to make sure that the residents of Durham County and those in Orange County that don't know me get the chance to know me so that I can hear what they're interested in and what I can provide to them. But I don't believe that the interests of people in Durham County are significantly different from the interests of people in Orange County. This district, District 50, covers a little bit of Chapel Hill, but mostly rural Orange County and the northern, more rural part of Durham County. And that's really, in large part, a working-class community. People who are interested in jobs and safety and prosperity for their families, and trying to make sure that North Carolina is able to really support what their aspirations are for their children. And so I believe that with that education platform and with a focus on trying to really make sure that the prosperity of the state is based in good policy and not in just simply hacking away at the tax structure, then I can represent people from both counties quite well.
Well, Greg, at this moment, how can people find out more about your candidacy?
Well, right now, I'm not really running a campaign because this isn't an election. This is an appointment process.
Sure.
I'd be happy to talk to anyone who wants to reach out to me. You can find me online. You can certainly find me on Twitter. And you can find me in the phone book. So I'd love to just connect.
That is Greg Meyer, G-R-A-I-G. And, Greg, we appreciate your stopping by this morning.
Thanks for having me. I always support the good work that WCHL does to get the word out about things in the public. I'm glad to be here.
And it's Greg Meyer. He has announced he will seek the appointment to District 50's House seat, the seat formerly held by Valerie Pouchy, who was just appointed to fill Ellie Kinnaird's seat in District 23. And Greg will certainly be talking with you more later here on WCHL.
Sounds great. Thanks, Ron.
WCHL News Time is 7:13. In other news this morning, the chairman of the North Carolina Republican Party says inflammatory rhetoric and symbolism by some protesters of GOP policies aren't helping to create a respectful political dialogue. Claude Pope made those comments on Tuesday, a day after marchers outside the executive mansion carried empty caskets to memorialize four girls killed in an Alabama church bombing 50 years ago this week. The Reverend William Barber of the state NAACP on Monday called on Governor Pat McCrory to remember the blood that was shed to advance voting rights in our country. Allies of Barber and Democrats have condemned an election overhaul bill approved by lawmakers and signed by McCrory as making it harder for many groups to vote. Pope says it's a stretch to connect the governor with the tragedy from 50 years ago. Plans to build a new community center in the Rogers Road neighborhood are indefinitely delayed as Orange County staffers say initial project bids are twice what the Board of Commissioners had budgeted. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has details.
Interim County Manager Michael Talbert told Orange County Commissioners last night that progress towards a Rogers Road Community Center will have to be put on hold.
Today we received bids on the community center. Unfortunately, the bids came in substantially over budget.
Commissioners authorized $650,000 to build a new facility, but the initial project bids range from $1.3 up to $1.6 million. Talbert said the project would have to be redesigned, but he offered no timeline for when that might happen.
The county, as stated earlier, is committed to this project. We will begin working immediately with the architect, redesign this project to get it within budget, and move forward to rebid the project at some future date after we can come back with a redesign.
And that wasn't the only setback for Rogers Road residents at last night's meeting. The board had planned to approve an operating agreement with the Rogers Eubanks Neighborhood Association, or RENA, for the community center. The commissioners pulled the agreement off the agenda, saying a slew of last-minute changes required further review by the county attorney. Despite the delays, Board Chair Barry Jacobs said the commissioners remain committed to the project.
The Board of County Commissioners has done nothing to delay this. So we're going to try and deal with things that were unanticipated, that came up, that could delay it, and try and keep things moving forward as expeditiously as we possibly can.
The operating agreement is tentatively scheduled to come back before the board for a vote on October 1st. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Carver Alderman member Michelle Johnson said to the board on Tuesday that providing sewer services to the historic Rogers Road community depends on the town of Chapel Hill taking in parts of the neighborhood as an ETJ, or extraterritorial jurisdiction. She said without that happening, further progress wouldn't be possible. We'll have that story from Rachel Nash coming up at the bottom of the hour on WCHL. WCHL News Time, 7:16. Time to take a look at traffic and weather together. And this traffic report is brought to you by Cruisers Convenience Marketplace, serving the best-tasting fountain drinks in town. Made with 100% filtered water, served at 34 degrees with that great chewy ice, guaranteed to taste great, and only 79 cents. Cruisers, good to go. Well, traffic has been moving along fairly smoothly this morning. Some of the usual delays will begin to accumulate here, coming up soon around school zones and out at the entrances to I-40, that sort of thing, and certainly around the UNC campus. But right now, we don't have any major problems to report. Rand Northam is on it. He will have updates for you coming up throughout the morning here on WCHL. Right now, everything is looking A-OK. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather brought to you by Southern Season. Stop by for delicious food and great wine during their September Food and Wine Festival with gourmet food samples, wine tastings, live music, and other great in-store events. It's a lot of fun at the University Mall in Chapel Hill or online at southernseason.com. It is 52 degrees this morning in Chapel Hill, a little bit chilly, 51 in Carborough, where it's always a degree cooler, partly sunny today, high today about 75, tonight partly cloudy with a low in the low 50s, and then tomorrow we're looking at partly sunny skies, just a few degrees warmer with the highs in the upper 70s tomorrow. Good weather over the next several days. WCHL News Time 717. In other news, the UNC Department of Public Safety arrested Rafael Sierra Gaona, 55, early Tuesday morning on charges of second-degree rape related to an incident that occurred at the State Employees Credit Union house on Mason Farm Road Friday evening. DPS sent out a message to campus through Alert Carolina on Saturday, warning people of the incident. According to spokesperson Randy Young, the victim was not a Carolina student and not affiliated with UNC. Janice McAdams, SECU Family House Executive Director, released a statement to WCHL. It said, among other things, at the SECU Family House, our mission is to care for families as they cope with serious illness. We are grieved by the events that occurred Friday evening. This is a deplorable act. It violates a sense of community and safety that has been the hallmark of SECU Family House the last 5 years. We are not at liberty to disclose facts of the case that might compromise the police investigation. However, we are truly grateful to law enforcement and the community for their help in finding this person. SECU Family House continues to be a safe place for families, visitors, and volunteers. All of that, again, a direct quote from a statement sent by Janice McAdams of SECU Family House. The house provides a place to stay for families of patients who are being treated for critical illness or injury at UNC hospitals. The swift work of your local police department led to the apprehension of a man alleged to have stolen a vehicle on Saturday evening. Chapel Hill Police Public Information Sergeant Brian Walker tells WCHL that 28-year-old Gregory Harris, reportedly the driver of the vehicle, was arrested just down the street from where the vehicle was reportedly stolen.
The officers conducted some investigation and interviews immediately following the chase, and they followed up with that by locating and arresting Mr. Harris on Lindsay Street in Chapel Hill.
Officers tracked the vehicle using the GPS system OnStar and caught up with Harris and 23-year-old Marvin Ovi in this 2012 Buick. Harris crashed the vehicle in the intersection of Rosemary Street and Glen Burnie Street near downtown. Despite fleeing the scene, Sergeant Walker says no additional charges were filed.
The charges that are shown in his arrest report are larceny of an automobile, possession of stolen goods, and speeding to elude arrest. The speeding to elude arrest in the motor vehicle would be that charge.
Ovi was arrested at the scene of the crash on Saturday evening. And in news around town this morning, Duke Energy began selective herbicide treatment on much of the low-lying vegetation in Orange County the week of September 23rd. This next week, of course. This work is part of Duke Energy's system-wide vegetation maintenance program. The work includes low-volume backpack herbicide applications in non-maintained rights-of-way. The herbicide will target sapling species that could interfere with power interruptions in the future. Some of the targeted vegetation include woody stems, leaving grasses, and wildflowers. Applications are not performed in areas maintained by property owners. Katie Gulledge and Bill Malego were selected to participate in a transatlantic teacher scholars program. Gulledge from McDougal Middle School and Bill Malego from Chapel Hill High School were identified for their backgrounds in teaching and innovation and chosen to participate in this international training. The Transatlantic Teachers Scholars Program will engage 12 teachers from North Carolina and Virginia in a year-long training program that will bring narratives and events from a contested landscape to life. One of the focuses this year will be on the Meuse-Argonne American Cemetery and the commemoration of the 100th anniversary of World War I. The training includes a series of blended courses culminating with a trip to Verdun, France in July 2014. That's a look at WCHL's News Around Town. You can follow the News Around Town link on our website at chapelbro.com for more. Now, WCHL Championship Sports, brought to you by Landscape Logic. Good morning, I'm Ryan Stutz. Carolina's away football game against Georgia Tech this weekend will likely tail a lot of the tale of the season. Another loss against their Coastal Division rival would put the Tar Heels at a severe disadvantage in their quest to get to Charlotte for the ACC Championship game in December. WCHL's Matt Oak spoke to a couple of UNC's impact players as they try and get a little revenge on Saturday.
The Georgia Tech triple option offense has proven to be Carolina's undoing in years past, but senior quarterback Bryn Renner says he is encouraged by his team's progress over the last couple weeks as the Tar Heels get set for their Saturday showdown. Renner says despite the Yellow Jacket offense receiving all the hype, their defense still presents some big challenges for the UNC offense.
I watch their old games, and they're very just sound technically. I'm not going to do too much, you know, to kind of confuse you, but they're going to be really sound fundamentally, and you have to execute. You're going to have to, you know, make plays to beat them, and I think that's the one thing Coach Roof does is he's technically sound in the way he coaches.
Keeping the Carolina defense off the field in Atlanta on Saturday will be key, especially since Renner says the ball-controlling Georgia Tech offense has a way of wearing down opposing defenses if given the opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. We know the type of offense that they run. They're going to be ball controlling, and I think, you know, Coach Shore said it best yesterday, critical situations, you know, converting on third and four, you know, third and mediums, you know, if we get stuck in the third and long, we have to, you know, convert, because punting the football means you're probably not going to get it for at least 5 minutes, or you know, you're going to be off the field, so we're going to have to convert and keep our defense off the field.
Renner says one of his offensive goals is to distribute the ball more frequently to talented receiver Quinshaw Davis.
Yeah, I think, you know, just him getting involved more is definitely a key. You know, every week we go into the ball game, but, you know, they know who he is now. No, he's not a, you know, freshman anymore, but, you know, we're going to try to get him the ball as much as possible.
Senior defensive tackle Tim Jackson says the number 68 has been on the minds of the defense for a while now, 68 being the Yellow Jackets' tally a year ago against the Tar Heels. He says he and his teammates are eager to make amends on Saturday.
I've definitely heard it a lot in the past 2 weeks as opposed to the summer or whatnot, but it's definitely something the defense talks about. We've talked about it since the day it happened and making sure it doesn't happen again. To know that the offense put up 50 points, they did everything they could to win the game, put us in the position to win the game, and for the defense just to let them down, we all took it personal, and we want to make sure that doesn't happen this week.
Personally, Jackson says Georgia Tech is one of only two teams in the ACC he has yet to beat. He says as a senior, he understands this is his final crack at the win.
I know that Georgia Tech is a team I haven't beat since I've been here. Every other ACC team in the conference, in both divisions, I've beaten over my course of my career here, and Georgia Tech is definitely a team I want. Boston College is an exception, but I haven't played them yet. But, I definitely take it personally. It's a team in our coastal division that we haven't beaten yet.
You can read this story and follow all the latest on Tar Heel football on our website, chapelboro.com. Matt Oakes, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Tar Heel fans get fired up early on Saturday because it's another early game. Kickoff time, 12 noon down at Atlanta, Carolina versus Georgia Tech. That means our coverage begins bright and early at 9 a.m. with Countdown to Kickoff presented by UNC Healthcare, followed by all our coverage throughout the day here on WCHL, including postgame coverage. Top-ranked UNC men's soccer team escaped with a 1-0 overtime win against Campbell last night on Raby George's goal in the 97th minute of play. North Carolina outshot the Campbells 16-8. It took going to overtime for the fourth time in five games to grab the win and remain unbeaten through five games. First half was controlled by Carolina, but it was really the second half where the Tar Heels started to get more shots on goal. And finally, despite the defensive-minded efforts of Campbell, UNC hit pay dirt to pull out a close nail-biter on the road and improve the 3-0-2 on the season. Next up for the Tar Heels, a visit to Virginia Tech on Friday at 7 o'clock. That game to be broadcast on ESPN3. On the heels of its first loss of the season, the Carolina women's soccer team will have little time to regroup. Tonight, they will travel to Tallahassee for a league game against the always tough Seminoles of Florida State. Sunday's loss to Notre Dame marked only the 35th time in 829 career matches the Carolinas failed to score a goal. But the Irish themselves have managed to shut out the Tar Heels in four separate occasions. Despite this close decision, that loss dropped Carolina four spots in the polls as the top-ranked team fell to number five, according to the National Soccer Coaches Association of America. However, the Tar Heels did still get one number one vote. Notre Dame got a number one vote as well, but only jumped one spot in the polls from number eight to number seven. Does that make any sense? Number three Seminoles are 6-0-2 this year and 1-0-1 in the ACC. After downing Duke 2-1 on Sunday over in Durham, UNC had dominated FSU all time, but the last two meetings have gone the way of Florida State. This premier ACC matchup will be nationally televised at 8 o'clock on ESPNU. You can read this story and follow all the latest in UNC women's soccer, UNC men's soccer, football, and a lot more on our website, chapelboro.com. That's a quick look at WCHL Championship Sports. I'm Ron Sutz.
Art Chansky's Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Georgia Tech counted Carolina's off week by playing Duke. This is Art Chansky with Wednesday Sports Notebook. Would you be at all surprised if Georgia Tech's Paul Johnson, who coaches the misleading triple option offense, was playing mind games with UNC and the Yellow Jackets' laugher over Duke last Saturday? Much has been made of the Tar Heels having an off week before going to Atlanta, so Johnson may have been trying to give Larry Fedora and his staff more to think about. The Jackets broke out to an early lead in Durham and ho-hummed their way to a 38-14 victory. Besides proving that once again Duke isn't going to beat anybody it's not supposed to beat, Tech might have been toying with the Tar Heels in the second half by breaking out a diamond offense with four backs in the backfield, sort of a new-age version of the old four horsemen. Chances are Carolina won't see that at Bobby Dodd Field this Saturday, but chances are Fedora isn't taking any chances. So his defensive staff may be back at the drawing board to deal with the what-ifs Johnson presented by not only unveiling a new formation, but also throwing the ball all over Wallace Wade Stadium. Everyone knows that Georgia Tech doesn't pass, right? Well, if you believe the numbers, you're wrong. One of 34 undefeated major college teams left, Georgia Tech is ranked number one in the country in third down conversion percentage, fewest fumbles lost, and fewest sacks allowed. The Jackets are second in yards passed per completion, third in scoring offense, and fourth in passing efficiency behind quarterback and former Durham Hillside star Vad Lee, who accounted for five touchdowns in his homecoming game. And remember, Carolina hasn't won in Atlanta since 1997, losing 13 of the last 15 meetings. So what is Fedora to think? Well, he thinks his team has a chance, but frankly, it looks like the same old defense for UNC and a brand new offense for Georgia Tech. Of course, the 68 points the Jackets scored last season in Keenan Stadium were helped by recovering two red zone fumbles, completing a long bomb for a touchdown, and taking a kick back to the house. Scratch those plays and the Tar Heels win 50-40, right? Well, maybe. One thing's for sure, Johnson has given Fedora even more to worry about than the triple option offense. This is our chance, dude. See ya.
For more than 20 years, the Kennedy Dental Group has established an unbeatable standard of diagnosis, treatment, and dental care for patients at their University Square office. Doctors Jeff Kennedy, a 1984 UNC graduate, Richard Wagner, and newest partner Leland Webb have more than 100 years of experience and continue to be recognized locally in the best dentist category. They look forward to their upcoming relocation to the iconic former WCHL building at the bottom of East Franklin Street. Visit KennedyDentalGroup.com to learn more.
This is Jeff Rubish. Did you know to review your auto policy well in advance of your teenager getting a driver's license? Adding a teenager to an automobile policy can triple your premiums. And if you don't have a stable relationship with your insurance company or agent, you may have a hard time securing the most preferred pricing. If you want to discuss strategies for keeping your costs low and providing the most protection for your family, call Hein Rubish at 913-1144 to schedule a complete review of your auto policy. This is Jeff Rubish. Did you know?
For great food and infinite sports on game day or night, Tobacco Road Sports Cafe is your next stop. Locally owned and operated, Tobacco Road features fresh, local ingredients, down-home classics, and gourmet entrees, plus a wide selection of North Carolina beers on tap. Exceptional service is also on every menu, from your servers to the chef preparing your order. In Infinite Sports, we have every available sports package on TVs throughout the restaurant for your viewing comfort. Tobacco Road Sports Cafe, now open in Chapel Hill's East 54 Shopping Center.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Cover Weather, brought to you by Southern Rail, serving lunch and dinner daily and brunch on the weekends with free parking on either side of the railroad tracks. Southern Rail in the heart of downtown Carborough. 52 degrees this morning. Boy, it's a little chilly out there. 52 in Chapel Hill, also 52 in Hillsboro, 51 in Carborough. Partly sunny today, nice day. High today, middle 70s. Tonight, partly cloudy, and we'll go down to the low 50s one more time.
Check out our comprehensive community calendar, photo galleries, and all of our news stories and more from 97.9 FM WCHL on chapelboro.com.
CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett. As the military looks to examine security of bases around the world, there are some disturbing details about the D.C. shooter, Aaron Alexis. Correspondent Bob Orr.
Alexis called Newport, Rhode Island police, claiming he was hearing voices. The defense contractor also complained that people were stalking him, using some kind of microwave machine to send vibrations into his body.
So far, law enforcement officials say they have not found any manifesto that would point to a religious or political reason for the shootings. A dozen people were killed in the attack on Monday. On CBS This Morning, Nora O'Donnell with a snapshot of some who are gone.
Frank Kohler, he was a former president of the Rotary Club in Lexington Park, Maryland. Martin Bodrog graduated from the U.S. Naval Academy and loved the Boston Bruins hockey team. Mary Knight had just been promoted and attended her daughter's wedding last month. And retired Navy Commander Michael Arnold, who loved to fly, was building a light airplane in his basement.
CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant, open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
WCHL News, Talk and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
732, 52 degrees in Chapel Hill, WCHL. I'm Ron Stutz, a coordinator of Chapel Hill Carborough's Blue Ribbon Mentor Advocate Program and a strong proponent, supporter, and administrator of primary education, wants to serve you in the North Carolina House of Representatives. Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools Director of Student Equity and Volunteer Services, Greg Meyer, announced on Tuesday evening that he will seek the appointment to District 50's House seat, that seat formerly held by Valerie Fushi. She was just appointed to Senate District 23 seat, formerly held by Ellie Kinnaird. Greg Meyer was in our studios just a few minutes ago.
Most importantly is that I love this community. My wife loves this community. We care very much about what happens in this community. I believe that our government is responsible for educating our children, caring for our elders, and creating a safe, healthy, and prosperous community for everyone. I believe the North Carolina government has not been leading us in that direction for the last few years, and it's going to take a multi-year push to get us back towards being the great state that we can be, and I believe that I can make the commitment to do that.
Tell us a little bit more about your background and what qualifies you to serve in this capacity.
Ron, I've been a public servant for my entire career. I mean, people in Chapel Hill probably know me from my work with the school district. I'm really trying to address the minority achievement gap and work on racial justice issues. In Orange County, I've been active with the Orange County Schools as my daughter went through Orange County Schools from grades 1 through 12. And I've also been active in the Democratic Party at the local level, state level, even the national level. And so I've got credentials being tied into all those places and ways of supporting Orange County. My wife is more active in Durham County. She's an educator there, and our children, two youngest children, go to school there. So we've got ties, we know the issues, and you know, care very much about making sure that the voices of people in Orange and Durham counties are represented in the General Assembly, and I think most of the people that I talk to around here feel like those voices haven't been represented very well the last couple of years, not by my predecessor, not by Valerie Fushi, of course, but by the General Assembly as a whole.
That is Greg Meyer, now declaring himself a candidate for that seat, recently vacated by Valerie Fushi. Fushi recently appointed a Senate District 23 seat, formerly held by long-term Senator Ellie Kinnaird. Meyer was actually on the two-member appointment committee in Orange County that will choose who fills the seat in the House, but he resigned that position, of course, before throwing his hat into the ring. Meyer was appointed to the newly created Director of Student Equity and Volunteer Services position in the Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools last July. In that position, he continued his work with the Blue Ribbon Mentor Advocate Program and the district's Parent University, which is a free portal to help parents stay connected with the district. Greg Meyer in our studios just a few moments ago. Plans to build a new community center in the Rogers Road neighborhood are indefinitely delayed, as Orange County staff members say initial project bids are twice what the Board of Commissioners had initially budgeted. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has details.
Interim County Manager Michael Talbert told Orange County Commissioners last night that progress towards a Rogers Road Community Center will have to be put on hold.
Today we received bids on the community center. Unfortunately, the bids came in substantially over budget.
Commissioners authorized $650,000 to build a new facility, but the initial project bids range from $1.3 up to $1.6 million. Talbert said the project would have to be redesigned, but he offered no timeline for when that might happen.
The county, as stated earlier, is committed to this project. We will begin working immediately with the architect to redesign this project to get it within budget and move forward to rebid the project at some future date after we can come back with a redesign.
And that wasn't the only setback for Rogers Road residents at last night's meeting. The board had planned to approve an operating agreement with the Rogers Eubanks Neighborhood Association, or RENA, for the community center. The commissioners pulled the agreement off the agenda, saying a slew of last-minute changes required further review by the county attorney. Despite the delays, Board Chair Barry Jacobs said the commissioners remain committed to the project.
The Board of County Commissioners has done nothing to delay this. So we're going to try and deal with things that were unanticipated, that came up, that could delay it, and try and keep things moving forward as expeditiously as we possibly can.
The operating agreement is tentatively scheduled to come back to the board for a vote on October 1st. Funding for the community center is part of a remediation plan for the neighborhood that's lived with a landfill for 40 years. Carborough Alderman member Michelle Johnson said to the board on Tuesday that providing sewer services to Rogers Road depends on the town of Chapel Hill taking in parts of the neighborhood as an ETJ, or extraterritorial jurisdiction. She said without that happening, further progress won't be possible. WCHL's Rachel Nash has more.
You all need to know that if Chapel doesn't create the ETJ, then they can't contribute, and we ask for that.
Johnson and fellow board member Sammy Slade represented Carrboro on the Rogers Road Task Force, a group charged with designing a plan to provide much-needed sewer services to the community that's lived next to the landfill for four decades. Johnson and Slade worked alongside representatives from the Chapel Hill Town Council and the Board of County Commissioners, in addition to representatives from the neighborhood. The task force, who has been working for more than a year and a half, preferenced a $5.8 million plan to extend sewer services at its final meeting in August. Officials from the three municipalities also recommended a cost-sharing plan that would have Carrboro paying 14%, while Chapel Hill and Orange County each paid 43%. Carrboro's share would equal about $900,000. The Board of Aldermen heard a presentation of the final report written by the task force Tuesday night. Johnson said that she and Slade pushed for the town of Chapel Hill to follow through on the ETJ proposal during the task force meetings.
Because it's the only way they can contribute, or the only way they figured out that they could contribute to the sewer improvements.
The Chapel Hill Town Council will discuss plans to hold a public hearing on the matter this month. Carrboro Mayor Mark Tilton said he stands by Carrboro's commitment to contribute $900,000. The projected cost of Carrboro's section of the project is estimated to be just below $850,000. Tilton criticized those who would have a problem with the cost difference.
The concept that anybody would have a problem with that is the word I'm looking for, galling. We're putting in $900,000, and we've said from the beginning we were going to spend $900,000 regardless, and my intuition told me at that time, and this report confirms, that what that would have amounted to is Segment 6, bringing it to Rogers Road. So the part that's built in Carrboro costs slightly less than what Carrboro is putting in. Finish your thought, Chapel Hill.
Another issue which all three municipalities will have to answer will be how to fund the connections running from the houses to the sewer systems. Alderman member Lydia Lavelle pointed out that the board made a commitment in 2005 to address that problem for the soon-to-be-annexed residents in Rogers Road.
We have an obligation that we made back before the annexation took place in 2006 that whenever any homes in the annexed property did ultimately connect, that the town would put $2,000 toward any connection fee.
Carrboro's jurisdiction for providing sewer services encompasses about 30 houses. Town attorney Michael Breaux warned that the price tag for that commitment would be a significant cost. Rachel Nash, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
There's a lot more to that story from the standpoints of Carrboro, Chapel Hill, and Orange County. All Rogers Road stories on our website at chapelbrew.com. 7:40 at WCHL coming up. You remember that interminable period of time that we have been waiting for all the construction on Weaver Dairy Road to be finished. Well, Jane Salemson lives just off Weaver Dairy Road, and she has a few thoughts on whether it actually helped anything. That is on the way in today's WCHL commentary.
WCHL sat down with Mariana Fiorentina, Tom Wiltberger, and Kara Pittman, owners of Terra Nova Global Properties.
Our brokers are full-time and experienced. We're local with a deep commitment to this community.
We're results-driven for both sellers and buyers.
We don't want you to worry about anything, so we handle every detail. Before we list,
we fix,
feng shui,
and stage your home.
We will get you to the closing table.
Stress-free.
Terra Nova Global Properties, online at terranovaglobal.com.
At East 54, we have 11, make that 10, condos left. Three, make that 2, on the golf side, and 8, 7, on the plaza side. So whether you're into the hustle and bustle of the plaza or the birdies and eagles on a spectacular Tom Fazio layout, East 54 is your own personal urban enclave. Retail, restaurants, a sports cafe and a hotel on the inside with easy access to even more on the outside. Meadowmont, UNC Wellness, two great groceries, more restaurants, more shopping, miles of paved trails. Add to that a condo with hardwood floors, tile, granite, stainless steel, 10-foot ceilings, glass, and a distinctive urban vibe, and, well, the countdown continues. Learn more at East54.com, because those 9 condos, 8, 7, really 6, are going fast.
Trust. In the dry cleaning business, trust is what you expect. Hi, this is Brenda Honeycutt. And for more than 3 decades, our family-owned and operated business has been earning the trust of our loyal customers. I invite you to find out why so many Chapel Hill families trust their everyday and hard-to-handle items with us. Plaza Dry Cleaners on Elliott Road in the Whole Foods Shopping Center. Plaza Dry Cleaners. Improve your image. Come clean with us.
743 WCHL. I'm Rod Stutz, and Rand Northam is in the studio right now. And Rand, what's happening at chapelrow.com today?
Well, we're 3 days away from getting back to football. Of course, a bye week this past weekend. Matt Oakes has the latest Huddle Up with the Heels article entitled 68 and 16, talking about the 68 points last year and 16 years since Carolina has won in Atlanta.
Whoa.
Some hurdles to overcome, no less. D.G. Martin's one-on-one column says Alan Gurganis is back with a bang. Gurganis is a novelist from Rocky Mount, so you want to check that out. And you can hear the full interview again with Greg Meyer, who joined us at the top of the 7 o'clock hour to announce his intention to seek the House 50 seat. As more names come in, we'll have them all on our website as well, chapelborough.com. But Greg Meyer, the latest of those to announce, and his interview is up on our website if you missed that. And don't forget to make your picks for the College Pick'em Contest. Ron, you've got some points to make up here. It's still early in the season.
Yeah, 5 out of 10 this week. Not really good.
A good 10 out of 10 will get you back in the game. How about that?
Yeah, I'm doing terribly so far.
Well, all of this and much more available on our website, chapelborough.com, with instantly live streaming on an app for that.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
52 rather nippy degrees this morning.
Ooh.
744 WCHL.
And now, WCHL presents the Commentators.
This is Jane Salemson. Recently, I heard Ron Stutz and Freddie Kiger discussing the fiasco of the so-called improvements to Weaver Dairy Road. Specifically, it was the inability to turn left from Perkins Drive onto Weaver Dairy. For 20 years, I've been traveling along that road to shop. Now, going to Chapel Hill North, I can't return the way I came. My choices are a potentially dangerous U-turn at the lights on Weaver Dairy and Martin Luther King, or the longer way around by the gas station to the traffic lights. It's ludicrous. What were they thinking? If they didn't want a left turn from Perkins, a great solution would have been to install a mini roundabout at Perkins and Weaver Dairy. It also helped to slow traffic down. The road is now wide enough for cars to negotiate a mini roundabout. Trucks can use the gas station exit onto Martin Luther King with easy access to I-40. Another area of concern is the new exit from the Timberline Shopping Center. There is a slight incline on Weaver Dairy coming from the east before the Timberline driveway, and cars traveling west on that road can't easily see traffic that's coming out of the shopping center. I have already seen people driving out of there turning left, trying to beat the oncoming Weaver Dairy traffic. Can something be done about these fiascos before any accidents happen? Do people need to be injured or even killed before the Department of Transportation realizes what poor planning they have instigated? This is Jane Salemson.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators. Local people, local issues. On 97.9 FM, WCHL. What you're saying on the street. Presented by ISIS IT. What you're saying on the street.
I'm Kristen Ruffin. In light of the shooting in Washington, D.C. Monday, we hit the streets to find out what you think about the current state of gun control in the U.S.
John Scott. I live here in Chapel Hill. Have for 45 years. Gun control doesn't mean eliminating guns. It just means finding a way to keep things like what happened yesterday from happening. We can have hunting, we can have self-protection without madmen getting control of guns. There's got to be a middle ground. It's not a black and white issue. There's tons and tons of gray.
My name is Herman Fouché. I was born and raised here in Chapel Hill. Worked in D.C. for a long time where they do have gun control, but I think it's out of control. They should, people who are mentally, who've had a history of mental illness, should not have access to guns. That's the main thing. But people who are stable, I have no problem with.
What do you think about gun control and the use of guns in America?
My name is Sherry Sweeney. I'm from Chapel Hill, North Carolina, actually originally California, and I don't believe there is any gun control, and I wish that there were.
Melissa Hudgens, I'm from Chapel Hill. I actually feel very strongly about gun control and wish that our state and federal government would take steps to limit access to guns and increase background checks and all of the things that are letting guns get into the hands of people who are mentally unstable or felons or ex-felons. And yesterday's incident is just further evidence of that.
This is Red. I'm from Bull City. I think that guns need to be done away with. I think they need to be taken out of society. People using them for some strange things. Yeah, that's what I feel like. I feel like they should be taken out of society. I mean, I know about the NRA and all that. I understand that there, but I don't know. That's a complex issue. I think they need to get them off the street, though.
That's what you're saying on the street. A 97.9 FM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. What You're Saying on the Street, presented by ISIS IT, managed IT solutions to fit your needs. Find out how they can save you money at igotfixed.com.
Attention, Carolina fans. Fitch Lumber and Hardware is a whole lot more than just wood and nuts and bolts. Whether you're building your dream home, adding on, or just maintaining what you've got, we can help lead you in the right direction. Doors, windows, siding, roofing, paint, you name it, we can help you with it. And don't forget about our key and lock services and our custom millwork shop. So stop by Fitch Lumber and Hardware in downtown Carborough or check us out online at fitchlumber.com. Go Tar Heels!
Are you a local business owner? Are you aware of the upcoming health care reform changes? Did you know that working with a private exchange can save between 30 and 50% on your current health care costs? This is David Leader with Legacy Investments and Insurance Solutions. Whether you are a business owner or individual, let us give you a free analysis of your investment strategy or health care plan. We don't offer canned advice. We specialize in tailored solutions from Affordable Care Act compliant health plans to customized investment strategies. Call today for a free consultation. 919-960-1547.
10:49 at WCHL, and it's 52 degrees in Chapel Hill. More on the weather in just a moment. Time now for traffic, and here is Ryan Northam.
Thank you very much, Ron. Traffic still moving smoothly at this point. I-40, 15501, NC-54 on the Durham Freeway, not reporting any accidents. No major delays out there. You might see some slowdown traffic as people are trying to get to work, maybe from work, wherever they might be traveling. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363 or tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you to do that safely.
All right, Rand, thank you so much. And stick around. I know you've got a word of the day coming up for us.
Not going anywhere.
And Dr. Pond's absent.
Oh, yeah.
And WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather brought to you by the Carolina Inns, Carolina Crossroads Restaurant and Bar. Savor delectable cuisine prepared with fresh local ingredients created by outstanding executive chef James Clark and his talented culinary team. Carolina Crossroads Restaurant, a favorite place for gourmet cuisine. 52 chilly degrees this morning, partly sunny, high today in the middle 70s. Love this weather. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the low 50s again. Tomorrow, partly sunny with a high in the upper 70s. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low around 55. And then Friday, a little warmer back in the middle 80s by the end of the week here. 7:50 at WCHL. Time now for the word of the day. And I don't know if it's a dandy. But Rand Northam has graciously agreed to substitute for Dr. Pond this morning. And Rand, what do you have?
Well, I don't know if I could reach the dandy of Dr. Pond like we usually do, but I'm going to try my best. And I'm going to continue with like I did yesterday. Yesterday, we brought you a word that you would likely hear in everyday language, in everyday conversation. But you might not, you may think it means something that it doesn't actually mean. We did nauseous yesterday, and that one is not what you think. You actually feel nauseated. So that was yesterday, to recap.
I'm feeling nauseated when I think about all the times I've used that word incorrectly.
There you go. That was used correctly.
Oh, thank
very,
you.
Very well done.
Thank you so much.
So today we have a new word, and it's peruse.
Peruse.
P-E-R-U-S-E. How do you think that word is used?
Well, it's in South America. No, just kidding. Peruse is like when you when you kind of search through something, you kind of, like if you're perusing a store, you're looking for clothes or...
You're glancing over it and just kind, skimming it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. That would be the wrong definition.
Oh, thank
you. Yes, you're very welcome.
Glad to help.
Thank you for proving my point. Exactly. What it actually means is to review something carefully and in depth.
Really?
Yes, it has changed meanings over the years, I guess. People have misused it over the years. But what it actually means, the definition of peruse, to review something carefully or in depth.
Wow.
So no longer say that you are perusing something if you're only taking a glance at it.
You always thought of it as something, you know, of a casual nature.
Sure.
You know, I think most people use it that way.
Yes, they do. They very much do. And you're likely to probably see it in the dictionary as change now, because that's what we do as Americans. We just like to take the words and say, well, we're using it that way. Why not change the definition? So that's probably what it is.
That's true.
That's a little pet peeve of mine, by the way.
That's true with a lot of things, by the way, not just word usage.
Yeah, yeah, so true,
Hey,
anyway,
listen,
peruse.
Thanks.
Yes, you're welcome.
The word of the day with Rand Northam, quite capably substituting for Wayne Pond this morning, brought to you by Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else?
I don't know.
Sometime next hour, you'll have an opportunity to call in and tell me the word of the day, spell it, define it, if you could do all that. And if you do it first, we'll give you a $10 gift card to Cruisers.
97.9 FM, WCHL, is Ron Stutzand. Lauren Stafford just walked into the room. And Lauren, how you doing?
I'm fabulous.
You look just so happy today.
I'm always happy.
Why are you so happy today?
Because it takes so much more effort to be miserable than it does just to be happy.
Turn that frown upside down.
Did you know
folks.
That? Did you know that it takes more muscles to frown than it does to smile?
I do. I knew that already.
And I don't want wrinkles.
That's why I smile most of the time.
That's right.
And it's too late for me on the wrinkles thing, but you know.
I was about to say, you must smile a lot. You have no wrinkles.
Oh. Oh, come on.
Look at that skin.
You're just being so nice.
I try.
What can I say? You got a good joke?
I do.
Make me smile. No, not only make me smile, make me laugh.
All right. I will try.
Remember that old Chicago song, Make Me
Smile?
Yes,
love I
that
do.
Song. Make
All right.
me laugh.
Mae McClendon.
Oh, well, hey.
And it's a blonde joke.
Mae McClendon. I'm already
I don't even have to tell the joke.
I don't even know what it is.
Exactly. A blonde joke. All right. A blonde was driving down the freeway when her mobile phone rang. Mm-hmm. It was her husband warning her. Darling, he said, I just heard on the news that there's a car going the wrong way down the freeway. Please be careful.
Mm-hmm.
The blonde replied, it's not just one car. There's hundreds of them.
Oh, my
God. Oh, goodness.
Hey, thanks a bunch.
You're welcome.
Have a great day.
Have a great one.
This is Gerald Remoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights a great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Pat Perret is a veteran reading volunteer with the Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools. Here's Susan Pierce to tell you why she's today's WCHL hometown hero.
She has been volunteering with us for a long time before she started with Chapel Hill Carborough School. She volunteered in Orange County, and so she's a veteran volunteer. She's also in our Volunteer Hall of Fame because she's been with us for so long. Our database that we have currently goes back to 2000, and she was here then.
Uh-huh.
And so I believe that she was even volunteering with us before that.
Where specifically does she volunteer?
Well, she's volunteering at Glenwood, and she loves being at Glenwood because she has a lot of international background in terms of where she's lived. She lived in Korea, and she's lived in France, and there are so many kids from other countries that go to Glenwood, so that it's just a perfect fit for her. She's a school reading partner, and she's been doing that with us since Scroggs opened. She read at Scroggs for several years, and then when she moved house, she moved to Glenwood, and she's been there ever since. As a school reading partner, she's also been trained as an ESL volunteer, so she generally works with students who speak another language at home.
Pat Perret has a really special connection with the kids.
She doesn't force herself on children. She lets them kind of come to her. She's very gentle, but at the same time gets what she needs to get accomplished. She's always a favorite of the kids and the teacher and anybody else that she works with. She's really a delightful person.
Pat Perret's work in the schools only tells part of the story.
She's working part-time at Carol Woods, and what she's doing is health promotion and disease prevention. She screens residents for overall health and well-being. She likes to get involved in the community. She also volunteers in Chatham County for the Literacy Council, so she's worked over the years with adults trying to teach them English. She's also gone to Haiti 5 times, being excited about going down there. Specifically, she has supported, along with her church, the St. Joseph's Home for Boys, which is an orphanage, and they've raised money, and they've gone down, I think, and worked on the house and gotten to know the boys. She is never without a project or something in the community that she's involved with and wanting to make a difference.
Our thanks to Susan Pierce for the nomination. They love her at Glenwood, and now you know why. Pat Perret, today's WCHL Hometown Hero.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
Want to experience a bit of the Italian lifestyle right here in Chapel Hill? Join Vietri, importer of the finest handcrafted Italian ceramics, and the Siena Hotel this Friday for an event that celebrates Italy. Susan Gravely, Vietri founder, will be signing your purchases at a special, first-ever Vietri pop-up shop in the lobby of the Siena Hotel this Friday from 3 to 5 p.m. Come to browse Vietri's latest fall and holiday collections. We hope to see you there. Ciao!
If you're over 60 and young at heart, you're looking for more than just a place to live out your years. You're looking for the Cedars of Chapel Hill. Our unique community in Metamot offers you all the independence and financial benefits of owning your own home without all the hassles, so you can pursue other goals and also enjoy the peace of mind of having a continuing health care plan in place. Make your next chapter in life your best chapter. Call us to learn more about the Cedars. Life has been good to you. At the Cedars, it gets even better.
At Harrington Bank, it pays to be a customer. As your local community bank, we are working on the best ways to earn you more money, which is why we offer competitive CD rates. Call or stop by one of our 3 convenient locations in Chapel Hill to learn which account is right for you. We are located in Southern Village, Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, and the intersection of Highway 54 and 40. Harrington Bank. You deserve banking like this.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant, open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough Weather presented by Cruiser's Convenience Marketplace, serving fresh brewed coffee, fast, guaranteed to taste great. Fuel up this morning at Cruiser's. Good to go. Really nice weather. Love it. 53 degrees right now, partly sunny, high today about 75. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the low 50s. And then tomorrow, partly sunny with a high in the upper 70s. So warming up just a few degrees by tomorrow.
Here's the equation. Commerce plus social equity plus environmental stewardship. In Chapel Hill, it all equals community. Chapel Hill, where business is commerce plus.
It's 8 o'clock.
Local news all day. Breaking news whenever it happened. This is 97.9 FM. WCHL. Chapel Hill.